Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for the ROH post show, fully in the Fios era. I think I have everything figured out in my technology here in my studio. I just got to get something fun going on in the background here, but we've got some fun to talk about on tonight's ROH episode. Happy 2025 to everybody who's joining us tonight. Hope you enjoyed your AEW Dynamite first simulcast era episode yesterday and had a safe and wonderful New Year's Eve as well. SP3 and I were just talking about how we were both kind of just keeping it low key this year. I had initial plans to go to a friend's house. Then I saw the weather. Then I went out in the weather and was like, you know what? Adding drunk drivers into this mix, not something I'm super excited about the idea of doing. So I'm going to stay home. But happy New Year to all. SP3, welcome to 2025. How we doing so far?
2025, I've barely known you. I am doing well. I'm glad everyone who's joining us. I'm glad Kate had a good New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. I had a good one. My family is good. That's all I can ask for. So it's a good 2025 so far for me. And I had to watch this show, but QT Marshall in the main event. QT Marshall.
Main event. QT. Look, if he sold out the Prudential Center, I mean, I can't argue that he should be in the main event, but a little sus that he is the one to win a Proving Ground match after we saw so many failed attempts previously from maybe talent that feels like they more realistically have a shot at a title, but maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? But we're going to dive into this episode. We're going to ask you guys to do our laundry list of favors that we always ask for, to leave a thumbs up on this video. That would be so, so helpful. We do have Cresta back and Joel back at the end of this. So we are back to our time limit draw episodes here, okay? We got to be out of here before mom and dad come to put us to bed. But we will also remind you that the Fightful Awards are coming up. We're looking probably towards the end of January for those. There's some fun stuff that Sean has to do, like get acceptance speeches from talent across multiple promotions outside of WWE and AEW, some in New Japan and Stardom, which is really encouraging to see in our voting polls this year. But sponsorships are still open. We just locked one down today with the Love Wrestling crew. If you guys are familiar with them, Between Two Beards, our own Drew Nicholas is a part of their whole network and everything that they have going on. But we love JPJ and that whole crew over there. Really, really good people. Really, really good people. But Taylor Cannon, who's always so great to us, saying happy 2025 to Kate and SP3. Happy 2025 to you. And I just, I appreciate everybody that tunes in whatever way that they choose to support us. But we have some people that are just like extra kind. And I don't just mean with the way they support us financially or all of the subscriptions and things like that, which are very much appreciated. They're our lifeblood. It's how we run. But there's some people who are just so kind in their actions and their words around here. And Taylor's definitely one of them. And just as you think back on years and like looking forward into other ones, there's things like that that really stand out to me about like people that you've never like fully met or whatever, but have been there for so many of your ups and downs, and Taylor's definitely one of those. So thank you so much, Taylor, for always being so awesome. But we've got a lot to dig into. We do have another women's TV title defense with a really just growing into a hell of a wrestler, Red Velvet. I can't wait to talk about that. We've got STP finally picking up a win on this episode that we've been waiting for. And we do have QT Marshall versus Commander. I will say QT Marshall has been doing some work in Mexico, so kind of nice to be pulling on those things a little bit here. But overall, kind of back to, I think this was closer to an hour and a half today, maybe even a shade less than the 2 hour format. You know, I was hoping we were going to get an announcement on TV coming out of Final Battle. I also thought we were going to be getting a new women's champion. So what the hell do I know, SB3? But a little behind the scenes peek, you had gotten in your media credential email like, hey, you're going to want to be at this press conference. There's something newsworthy coming. And then nothing that newsworthy came outside of the traditional affair. So let's kind of just talk overall 2025, what our hopes are a little bit for this. I think having six-man champions around ever again would be neat. That's certainly some. But like outside of very specific creative trends, you know, I would love to see just some more momentum put behind this product in general. And rather than getting into creative specific incidents, like I would like some more TV structure or I guess like they always seem to do better in these more cohesive episodes that have had them stationary, even in a short sprint like this. Like there's just more clarity around where things are going. There's more direction. It feels like we've got more title defenses than we normally get just because people are in the same area. We saw that in Texas. We saw that when this product first launched in Orlando. We're going to talk about like they had this throwback match to Willow and Athena. And I was like, man, we were getting such great programs then of like, we got FTR versus the Briscoes for God's sakes on this program. So for me, I feel like I love this talent roster and I want so much for them. And I feel like what they need is either a studio setting show or if they're going to be weekly traveling to have a dedicated creative team to them. What do you want kind of in 2025 from ROH other than Nigel McGuinness on your TV every week?
I mean, that would be like number one because I am a clam digger. But I just want effort. I just want them to seem like they try. And I don't want the same repetitive kind of nonsense of, you know, ROH world title matchups with guest stars from AEW roster or beyond every single month of like Mark Briscoe into Chris Jericho's reign. That's what we got this year. I just want to see a change in that direction. I want to see the world champion have a presence on the show. And no, that doesn't mean I need the world champion to wrestle every week. I don't believe in that. I think that you're devaluing the world champion if you have him wrestle every single week on your television show. But you're telling me you can't have the world champion wrestle one match and then tape three pre-tapes. He could take three pre-tapes and he's good for a month.
One match,
three pre-tapes, three promos, promoting stuff, promoting whatever matchup he has coming up, promoting whatever events you got coming up, whatever big time feuds is down the line, like, or you want to have someone interrupt him, you can switch it up with the three pre-tapes. But sure, you could do that all in one shot. You don't have to pay them again to come to the next taping. Like I'm trying to make this cost efficient for you as well.
And you don't even have a budget. Yeah.
I don't even know your budget, but I'm just trying to make this a little bit more cost efficient. I just need the world champion to have a presence on this show every single week. The television champion. Yeah, I need them to wrestle at least twice to three times a month because they are the television champion and this is a television show. So that is the one title, sure, I expect to be on the show more often than not, whether it's a title match or a proving ground matchup. Tag team division. Just throw it all away and then redo it. You got a lot of good pieces here. You got a lot of good pieces. You got the Grizzled Young Veterans. You got Dark Order. You got STP, the infantry. You got Iron Savages. So you got a couple of good pieces here. You just need kind of like anchor kind of tag teams. You need like the star tag teams. That's the only thing that you're missing. Whether that's after they, you know, lose their title shot at Private Party, sending Lio Rush and Action Andretti over here to be your champions and eventually win the title. Or there's the MXM collection. If you ain't going to use them on AEW television, why aren't they on here every single week or at least more often than not? And in the trios division, just forget it. Just forget it.
No, don't forget it. Do something with it, man.
Just forget it. Just focus on one trios division. He can't do two.
Well, here's the thing. I fully think he can, but to your point, effort is kind of the key word with this. Like, it really does feel... I think what you and I are saying are very connected in the sense that, to me, you're asking for effort, and I think that effort comes with getting them out of being the collision leftover pile. I really believe that. And, because we see it from time to time. We see it whenever they're not on that taping loop, right? So I do feel like it's there. I do feel like it's possible. You have a good point in that the trios division in AEW isn't exactly lighting things up. Why you have Pac, Claudio, and Wheeler in the same and in a trio as champions and not wrestling all the time absolutely blows my mind. But that's a whole other can of worms for a different worm show, as it were, with AEW. But like, you have the parts. I also would like to see more creative consistency from some people. I didn't even know Willie Mack was signed until Sean told me about like 3 weeks before that whole GCW thing happened. Because I've been wondering where Mercedes is, Martinez, not Monet. I've been wondering where Blake Christian is. He got such great heat at those Hammerstein shows. Like, yeah. I would like to see more singles talent utilized in that way, especially in the men's division. So I'm with you. I think we're on the same page there. I don't know what the chicken or the egg situation is first. Do they need more effort to progress something to a TV deal? Do they need a TV deal to do that? Do they need to move to Max? Like, what needs to happen there to make this a consistent product? Because one, I think they have the need for a show that feels developmental-ish. Yeah. And two, the talent's just too damn good. They're just too good. Like, we're going to talk about the Shane Taylor vignette that we got in just a moment from now. That guy is like a world-class talker. And there's not a lot of them in this vein. It's like him, Eddie Kingston, and Kevin Owens to me. That's about it. And Gabe Kidd, who every time he sits down with Sean is saying something absolutely freaking insane, and I love it. But you check out that interview for sure. But yeah, man, I think we're on the same page, but like, effort is where it starts. I said that for months, if not years, about the women's division, and now look at the women's division. It's really good. It's ups and downs, but I feel like there's ups and downs on the men's side too, right? But like, who can look at the last five Chris Statlander matches? Who can look at the last five Mercedes matches? Who can look at the five Willow matches? Who can look at what Toni Storm's done as an arc in all of wrestling? Like, who can look at these things and say that they haven't made improvements, right? So I'm with you. I hope that the effort comes through because the talent is too damn good to be operating with a glass ceiling like this over their head. But let's get into tonight's episode. Some more love from you guys. Ricardo saying, I need to see STP start being a wrecking ball. We're going to talk about that in a second because he had a little bit of a 2025 mission statement for you guys, but I agree. Me Norma saying, I met Dusty at a meet and greet at the DC Armory in 1989. It's crazy to me that he's still wrestling. Sometimes I get sore just from smoking brisket. Well, there you go. There you go. See, you won't be sore if you go vegan. That's all I'm saying. But I'm not trying to make me Norma something he's not. I try not to be an overly preachy vegan. Somebody coming in here with the name me Norma. I'm not trying to change anyone. All right. You guys live your best lives. But let's start with Red Velvet and her win over Hanako with the cradle here. I really am so impressed by the continued evolution that we get to see in Red Velvet. Hanako, I feel like such a different type of challenger than anybody we've seen her against. But man, there were parts of this match that felt like they were maybe a little off kilter, nothing too dramatic, just like some chemistry moments. But like, the growth that I've seen in Red Velvet, from harnessing her moveset to her in-ring storytelling to the blend of what to me makes it pro wrestling, like, has been such a rewarding and refreshing thing to see. I also just love that we got kind of back-to-back defenses here, and we're going to talk, let's talk about it now, actually. We have a vignette later in the show where we get Layla Hirsch coming in for a second challenge here after we have Red Velvet being questioned about her tactics defeating Miss Layla, as we saw her break out the wrench turnbuckle combo there at Hammerstein. So it looks like we're going to get a rematch there, which I like that because I think their first match was good. I feel like they've got an even better one in them, but some good stuff and some continued progress in this part of the division, which we just weren't getting with Billy when she had the title, right? Where there was one defense and nothing. So seems like there's still a spotlight on that, which is encouraging. What did you think of the match and how are you feeling about a Layla Hirsch rematch?
I like the idea of a Layla Hirsch rematch, and I thought that that's where we were going with the finish, how we went down at Final Battle. As far as the matchup, I enjoyed this. I thought that Red Velvet is really kind of showing kind of her character work within the matches, and she's kind of putting in the in-between stuff, like taunting to the crowd, getting as much heat as possible on the matchup, and then building to the babyface kind of making their comeback. So I like how she's kind of made that smooth transition into be in the heel already after her turn at Final Battle. And Hanako, I like the fact that the crowd kind of responded to her. I heard that at Final Battle in Hammerstein Ballroom, you know, you could tell that she's getting over with that Stardom audience and then is transitioning over here to the US because she's showing up so much. And now you see, you hear that when she came out on this show after the matchup with Harley at Final Battle.
I agree. It is cool to see someone who isn't regularly involved in a promotion be able to just step in and immediately get the crowd's attention. But those Hammerstein crowds were hot too. It's nice to see that that was consistent through the ROH tapings as well, because those are some longer tapings. But me, Norvis, saying, how dare you, I'm gonna change you to Vig Norvis. How about that, Meet Norvis? Speaking of awesome people that support us, he says, I keep Honor Club for women's wrestling. It really is you know, it's a bit of a double-edged sword in that I feel like both NXT and ROH, and I've said this before, so sorry if it's redundant, but like women's wrestling is at the forefront on both of those programs. And it's really cool because that's never been the case with ROH. Like women's wrestling was such an afterthought. No offense to the performers that came through there. Sarah Del Rey probably being one of the bigger standouts. Who am I forgetting? Who am I forgetting from? Not from Beautiful People. Who are the two gals?
Madison Rain?
No, not Madison. Ugh. Terrible of me. But the point is, even better, that like, I can't even recall the more iconic women's wrestlers that came through ROH because it was such a de-escalated priority. They had like...
Well, there was Daisy Hayes and Lacey.
Oh, Lacey. She went the way of Jimmy Jacobs in the ROH division, I fear. But no, she was blonde. Oh my God, she was blonde. She had like a diva's look to her. She was pretty good. And she had a tag team partner who was brunette and like more athletically built. Now I can't think of either of their names. At some point, I'm going to set you off at a rant and I'm going to go look it up, but it's fine. Everything's fine. But the point being, women's wrestling was not at the forefront of ROH like ever. And we just never really got the presentation that it deserved. Probably until maybe Maria Kanellis was putting that tournament together before it shut down. Like we never really, like that had Roxanne and Willow and Trisha Dora and Maxi Impaler. And it was like really, really well done. And then it shut down and Angelina Love, thank you. Angelina Love and Velvet Sky. That's what I was thinking of. So we were kind of just getting that momentum going and then the promotion shut down. You never know what that's going to look like on a reboot. And then it just kind of felt like Athena said, it's mine for the taking. And here we are. Like, so that's been really cool. And I think there was in AEW now, the talent pool is so much deeper that I think, though I feel like you could bring Layla Hirsch up to the main roster tomorrow and she'd be on fire. But like there was some talent that kind of was still newer and needed to come along and get some more TV reps and things that needed to get rounded out a little bit more. So I think it's really, really thriving on the ROH side. I think it's like the men's division actually on both NXT and ROH are almost at detriments to themselves. Like there's the single side of stuff. I'm just like, I can't name you the next top three guys that would be contenders that you haven't already like gone through. So they need to straighten that out for sure. But It is very cool to see women's wrestling be at the forefront of any promotion, never mind multiple promotions for sure. But you've been watching ROH even longer than I am, Mr. I've seen every match that ever took place at Hammerstein. So how do you feel about women's wrestling being at the forefront?
I like the fact that when you look at kind of overall with like the two developmental kind of brands in wrestling, when it comes to AEWs and WWEs, it's primarily about the women's wrestling. You got what Athena's accomplished, becoming the longest reigning ROH world champion of all time. And you got Billy Starks, who's really evolved before our eyes over on ROH TV. And then you got the people that have gone through ROH, like someone like a Willow Nightingale and everything that she's accomplished on AEW television since being on ROH. So you have that kind of legacy within the kind of the Tony Khan era of Ring of Honor. And then you have the other people like from that last era of Woman of Honor, like a Roxanne Perez, who's like one of the top women over in WWE. So like, and then Deonna Purrazzo, who's accomplished so much in like TNA, and then what she's doing right now in AEW. So there's so much history with like the women that have been through ROH, despite the kind of the few number of women that we've had and the focus that's been on it, which was really kind of the latter half right before Tony Khan kind of got the promotion. But what he's been able to do with the focus on the women's division, and even watching like the first half of this show, when you get like back-to-back women's matches, you get the ROH TV title match, and then you get Harley Cameron in action. And Harley Cameron, you know, she's one of my favorites now. So I'm on the Harley Cameron bandwagon, and I like the fact that you have a show like Ring of Honor that you can have someone that is still learning, like a Harley Cameron, and she's able to get those reps and able to grow in front of our eyes.
It's so crazy how quickly Harley Cameron has just like crawled up the list of one of just the most entertaining wrestlers to watch, and how quickly her in-ring came around to support that. But fully with you on everything that you just said there. Like, it's very cool to see. And I like the NXT presentation is not always for me. The ROH presentation usually is from the way it is supposed to feel. But what I like is that regardless of your taste, neither program abandoned their presentation because it's women's wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh, it's the women on ROH, so they're treated different. Like, no, they're just badasses, ring-focused stuff that happens in the ring. Wins and losses are driving stories, etc. NXT, still very character-heavy on that side. So it's not like women are being treated like unicorns, though I am currently joined by Dusty Rhodes, which is pretty neat, so...
I had someone at my door, so I had to run to my door real quick. So that's why you had Dusty. I was listening.
I'm okay with it. Anytime Dusty Rhodes he's welcome around here, man. We're going to talk about his kid not long from now. So
that is true. That is true.
Before we do that, let's get into the Shane Taylor Promotions vignette. Shane Taylor, God, just you need him to make something feel cool and important out of thin air. Here you go. He basically just says that the only thing people ever cared about is not how anybody really gets to the top, who they step on. But he said there's no warriors anymore, and that they were not running from anyone and would go into war against anybody who came their way. This is filmed incredibly well. It's kind of a mission statement for 2025 that no matter who against, by any means necessary, Shane Taylor Promotions is rising to the top. He looks like a million bucks. The production on this is very cool. The production in both AEW and ROH has been on a way up kick. I don't know if it's that new Warner money coming through or whatever, but everything is looking great. I, while watching this, had three thoughts. Shane Taylor is cool as hell. Shane Taylor is rare as hell in what he's able to do. And man, I hope the booking backs him up at any point in his ROH career under the Tony Khan umbrella. Because I've seen this man challenge for title shots twice. I've seen him be auxiliary on the last pay-per-view, which is a crime. Shane Taylor should be on every ROH pay-per-view. And his team lose for no reason on the pre-show. Like, there's no need for the infantry to be losing on the pre-show. So in 2025, if Shane Taylor is going to be this fucking cool. It is going to be this special and rare to make you just so captivated from before he even says a damn word. I'm going to need booking to back it up. But I loved this. This was it badass mob boss, but not corny vibes. Like really, really, really cool. I love what they've been doing. I just hope that they're supported by booking.
Yeah, I feel like we're on a bad roller coaster. We're just going up and down. We're high on Shane Taylor. Shane Taylor does something great. He has a good to great matchup, and he always has great promos. And then you have this vignette that really showcases and kind of gives you kind of a vibe to Shane Taylor Promotions. And I like that type of stuff. Like these vignettes kind of reminded me of the Samoa Joe vignettes before he started feuding with MJF last year. Like they were kind of similar to that, but it felt like more fitting of the character of Shane Taylor. And he just looked like a boss. He looked like he was in charge of everything. And he gave us a mission statement for Shane Taylor Promotions that you can either get behind or you can be against. So I like that. And I like the fact that Shane Taylor is always able to get across his character for someone new that's watching. I think that if you have someone new that's watching the ROH product, they'll understand what kind of character Shane Taylor is just from this promo.
I really like that you brought that up, because if I'd never seen Shane Taylor before, I immediately know what he's about right here. If I miss this vignette and I see him in the ring later and I just see him go to knockout Bronson, I'm like, I'm in, right? So a very good point, and that he's very easily you know who he is right away. Yeah. And personally, I'm getting behind him because I don't want to get my ass kicked by Trish Dora. All right. I'm a big supporter of hers. We're big supporters of hers on the show. After seeing what she's able to do just on the apron tonight, I don't know. I'm not trying to cause any issues with Shane Taylor Promotions, but over 3,000 of you watching across platforms, thank you so much for your support. We are going to remind you to leave a thumbs up on this video, to subscribe to our YouTube channel already, because you're gonna want alerts every time that Sean interviews Gabe Kidd, okay? He's just out here saying F Tony Khan. Man's contract is up and he's out here saying F Tony Khan, okay? I love it. But please keep those super chats like this coming as well. Meet Norma saying, NXT and ROH's focus on women's wrestling can only be a good thing for the future. A lot of women are getting TV reps and showing out. Also, Harley Cameron, we're going to talk about her in just a moment. She's incredible. But yes, like you have to be able to keep cultivating all talent, but women's talent too, like in a market where we're finally expanding and giving women more of a chance over the past decade or so. Like you have to be able to develop who's next. You look at NXT, you've got Zarya there, Steph Acker there, you have Julia there, you have Roxanne there. Over here, you've got Queen Amanada, you've got Red Velvet, you've got Billy Starks, you've got Athena, who obviously has had the experience, but has completely reinvented herself. Like, It's good. It's looking really, really bright. Really, really bright. But I'll tell you what. I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know if I like Homicide coming back to lose at all. I understand he didn't need to win. But if your name is so badass, I can't put it in the title of the show for fear of getting demonetized. Like Homicide. Like, if you're that badass of a dude, I it's a hard for me to buy that Leo Rush and Action Andretti are taking down the Rottweilers here with Homicide and Rocky Romero. Very important tag team to Ring of Honor history. Go learn about it if you haven't already. But Leo Rush and Action Andretti, obviously the ones kind of needing the win here as they're being built up. And I think this was a one-stop shop situation for Homicide. But awesome to see him back. I just don't love the schoolboy roll-up for the pin here at all. But Action Andretti and Leo Rush, I feel like, is a good combination, because I feel like Leo Rush in some ways is a fully realized version of Action Andretti. And like what?
Yeah.
I'm not saying his ceiling is as high as Leo Rush, because I don't know if it is yet. And I don't think many pro wrestlers' ceilings are as high as Leo Rush is. I'll put it that way. I don't think there's many wrestlers on the planet that are significantly better than Leo Rush, to the point where I can say they have a higher ceiling. there might be ones who stylistically I jive with it a different way or whatever, but like he's phenomenal in every promotion and every context. Suck it up with your retirement jokes and get them out of here. Leo Rush is incredible. But like there's these seeds that I see in Action Andretti that I feel like could blossom into shades of what Leo Rush is. So I do like this idea as a tag team, and I'm interested to see where it goes. Commentary doing a great job of hyping them up on this. Ian Riccaboni saying, they're so good, I think they could be AEW tag champs and ROH tag champs. I'm like, seems possible because those pictures are not very strong all the time in their booking.
They're not very deep. But... not very deep either. So
I want the best for Private Party, but let's get them a story going. But really, really cool to see Homicide back. Just so important to the brand. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily know about the Rottweilers and that that's a part of Rocky Romero's past too, because I think most people associate him in-ring wise with New Japan. But this was a really nice mix of nostalgia and new leaning tag wrestling and just a newer tag team in general. So I had fun with this match. What did you think?
Yeah, this was my second time watching this match because I was live.
I'm SP3. I've seen every match that's ever taken place at Hammerstein Ballroom for the Ring of Honor brand. Turns out they did run before GCW. Who knew? My second time watching.
It was my second time watching because I did watch this live. But no, I did enjoy it.
If you had more hair, you would be.
Action Andretti and Leo Rush, I think they make a fun tag team, and I like them as heels. And I do agree that you can kind of tell that Leo and his kind of hold of like the heel character is kind of rubbing off on Action Andretti, and he's kind of showing a little bit more swagger in his walk like Leo kind of naturally already has. So I think that this tag team is only going to help Action Andretti in the future, and them getting reps on ROH and AEW, I don't mind that at all. I think they could become potentially Ring of Honor tag team champions. You know me, I'm trying to book anybody to beat the Sons of Texas. We need anybody and anybody. I am taking numbers. You can have a shot. I have numbers 1 through 1,000. It don't matter how many times we need to challenge these men. We need to get these damn titles off of them. If you want to have trios belts in ROH, we need to get those off of Dustin Rhodes as well. So I will take Leo Rush and Action Andretti. They can get number 2. They can get another shot here. They can get a shot at those titles and take those. As far as Private Party, all I got to say is that after hearing what the Young Bucks had to say, man, I wish the Young Bucks were still booking the tag team division, because we could have had the Outrunners as tag team champions at the high of the Outrunners. We missed the peak, y'all. We missed the peak. They were most popular. They're still selling merch. Don't worry. You're going to sell merch for a while, but I think we missed the peak of the Outrunners. We could have done that, and I like what the Young Bucks said.
Here's the thing with that. I think the only way that that works is that they are a transitional team to a heel team that's going to come in and decimate them. And I think that team's FTR. And I think we need to not go to that well again. I don't see the Outrunners with like a longer than 6-week reign, or I'm just going to get really tired of body slams. Cause it could have been
like a week or two and just put the belts right back on the Young Bucks, and we could still do the Private Party thing. Like, I think that we could have still done this and we could have capitalized on the popularity of the Outrunners.
I am okay with it being Private Party instead.
I'm not, because they're not booking them. Where have they been?
I will say, like, there is a pattern in every wrestling company that happens sometimes where they take for granted how over comedy acts are. They're mostly pretty good about it with Orange Cassidy. They haven't really gone that route because he's not a comedy wrestler to me after his international title reign. He's a wrestler that has comedic proclivities, but like MXM, it's okay that they can't buy a win to save their life, but they're also really good. And the Outrunners like had all this white hot momentum. So sometimes wrestling companies, and I don't even know if it's a bad thing, but they just take advantage of the fact that someone's perpetually over and they don't back them up with any wins. So that to me makes it feel like, I don't know, people people know I'm an MXM homer, but I think there's a significant difference between when a team has the in-ring ability that comes with Mason Madden and like the Outrunners wrestle to their gimmick, which is mostly body slams because it's 1990 in their heads, and that's fine, but it doesn't make the matches super interesting to me. No. So no,
it don't make it interesting to me. I'm a person that loves Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega. Outrunners are not that entertaining to me, but if something gets over, you have to capitalize it on it with big wins, and they got wins. Per se, they beat the GYV for no reason. They could have beat the Young Bucks. They could have beat the Young Bucks and then had the Young Bucks just win the title back, still done the private party thing, and not booked them on the show. We could accomplish all that. I'm saying we could accomplish all of these things if we would have just gave the pen a little while to the Young Bucks for the tag team division.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm okay with wrestlers not booking the divisions they're in as well. I feel like that gets really dangerous.
I mean, it does. It does, because you can either go one of two ways. They either book themselves to win all the time, or they book themselves to lose when they're not supposed to, Cody. But what AEW did, I am referring to it as the Outrunners got Otis'd. Because that's what Triple H did to Otis this
year. You know
what? He was way hot. He was white hot this summer.
It was, you know what was so weird with Otis was they were like, we are also not going to give you the catharsis with Chad Gable either. Like, they didn't even really properly give them, like, he didn't even get to destroy Chad Gable, never mind beat him or pick up any momentum.
He pushed him, ladies and gentlemen. If you forgot, he just pushed him. That was it. That was the breakup. That was the breakup angle. And all the people that was coping, was just like, oh, you guys, don't worry. That's not the real breakup. They're building to the real breakup. And we're like,
let me tell you what they didn't do. They now have like a transfer portal setup match on Raw this past week. I agree with you. There should have been some capitalizing on the Outrunners if they weren't going to follow through with the title. But we will see what's to come for this tag division. You are like a guy holding out tickets for deli meat. You're just like, anybody come beat Dustin and Sammy. Just anybody. Anybody. Number 94. What's that? The Righteous? You're next? You're calling on anybody. Come on now. Get this vignette from the Sons of Texas, and I liked Dustin's half of it a lot. I felt like Sammy's kind of struggled. Like, I don't know. But Dustin says that he has been burned so many times in the past, which I really liked, that he was skeptical initially of the relationship with Sammy. But when he saw him come out in those, the Rhodes tights, which I thought were good, the deathmatch tights, he knew that like Sammy was locked in and trustworthy and reliable. And in a kind of roundabout and wordy way, Sammy basically just says, yeah, I have your back. I have had your back so far. I'll have your back in the future. And I just, I need some fire from Sammy out of this title reign, because I still feel like I like his in-ring work a lot. And I actually think he works way better as a babyface than people give him credit for. But like, as a character, I'm like, you came back as a dad and you're from Texas. We don't really have anything else. And he hasn't had a lot of promos to kind of establish that. He's been mostly doing in-ring. So that's cool. But I just want to see more. I just want to see more out of him. He does say, I'm not that kid that had a panda on his head or whatever in the beginning, which that I kind of liked, of like acknowledging where he was. But I still am kind of like, who are you, Sammy?
I still want to know who Sammy Guevara is as well. I mean, Sammy's never been the best promo, but it does always feel like he puts more of an effort into showing some type of creativity or some type of character when he's a heel more than when he's a babyface. He thinks that when he's a babyface, he could just be himself and be likable because people like him in real life. This doesn't always work in wrestling. I'm sorry. I've seen very likable people. As Adam Cole, the most likable person from everybody I've talked to outside of wrestling, he's a better heel than he is a babyface.
Sure.
It's what it is. Like, you could try to be yourself, and you're going to be a babyface to a couple of people, but you're not going to be as over as you are when you're playing a character. And I think that that's what Sammy needs. But I hope you are right that we do get some fire from this reign, because I do like the characterization with Dustin kind of viewing Sammy as like a little brother to him, and he's kind of like trying to put him back on the right path in this little return that Sammy's had since coming back. So I like that characterization between the tag team here. I'm starting to connect and understand their character. I still don't want them to win. I still don't want them to be tag team champions. I'd rather have, you know, anyone be tag team champions.
Okay, it doesn't matter who. What if I told you Texas? Huh?
What if I told you I prefer the Premier Athletes?
I do too, because I'm a Josh Wood stan. Me and Norma showing out with the support despite me trying to turn him vegan. What a guy, saying, I feel like Dark Order should at least have an ROH six-man titles. They're over AF everywhere that I've seen them. Outrunners should absolutely be transitional champs. They gave the Acclaimed a run.
They gave him like a six-month run! You think it's a six-month run! Like, that killed the whole act! That act has not been as over because you gave it to him 6 months. It was supposed to be a transitional reign with the Acclaim. The Acclaim was a funny thing. It was cool for a minute amount of time. You gave him a 6 month reign. You're telling me the Outrunners couldn't hold the title for 3 weeks?
But the thing with that, I'm with you on the Outrunners winning them if they have the right person to transition to. My thing is, the right person to transition to is FTR, and FTR has so much value that doesn't always have to be wrapped up in the tag titles. So that's my thing, is who they hand them off to. Granted, there are plenty of teams that they have not taken advantage of that they could hand them off to, right? So I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that much.
Black Throne.
Kings of the Black Throne would be really, really fun. Honestly, if you gave them, if the timing was right, and you had the Murder Machines be the ones to just demolish the Outrunners, that would ruin people. That would ruin people in the most appropriate heel way possible. But totally with you on the Dark Order. I miss them having creative direction on my screen. Like, when, now that they're posting all the old, it's a 5-year-old company, all the old stuff from AEW up, like, AEW Dark Order was an important part of what they were doing, and they just kind of have fallen into the background, sadly. But we will move along here. That promo that we were talking about with Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara is them calling out House of Torture, specifically Show, who's, it breaks my heart, is in there, because you know how I felt about Roppongi Vice. And who, Kanemaru, I guess? Yeah.
Yes, Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Show. So they're facing a junior heavyweight tag team. That's how much New Japan cares about the Ring of Honor tag team titles. They sent a junior heavyweight tag team. Not even a good one. They have very good. The junior heavyweight tag team division is better than
it's actually quite good. Yeah.
They have like a half dozen good to great tag teams, and they sent us the worst one. They was like, we'll give you the worst one. Here is Sho and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Yoshinobu Kanemaru, he is still good. He can still deliver when he has to, and when he doesn't have all the rest of the House of Torture getting involved. But Sho is not the person y'all remember for Roppongi 3K. He got kidnapped, and he started hanging out with the goth kids in the back of the Rite Aid at the corner, and he's smoking cigarettes and doing crack in the background. And he's stealing.
They're the goth kids from South Park. Conformists.
Conformists.
That's what I used to say about the Judgment Day, and it's still true.
Oh man, House of Torture. This is like my nightmare match. This is a nightmare match for me. Sons of Texas versus House of Torture. The act that I hate the most from New Japan versus the act I hate the most from Ring of Honor. Thank God it's on the pre-show.
But it's your bathroom break. It's your walk your dog match.
Exactly.
In my lap. Yep.
I'll have a break in between the end of Collision and the start of Wrestle Dynasty. I don't need to turn it on for the pre-show. So.
They said, you're not going to promote our event on any of your stuff? Fine. We're going to send you House of Torture.
Here's the worst match on our show. Here you go.
Guys, get in your super chats. If there's anything that you want to talk about, Wrestle Dynasty or Wrestle Kingdom wise too. There's so much crossover there. I know there is a post show. I don't know what the deal is with it yet.
So as of now, it is going to be myself and Rob Wilkins on Saturday morning. We'll be doing a post show for Wrestle Kingdom. So we have that. I don't know. We might have more people join us. Who knows? But for now, it'll be me and Rob Wilkins. So I'll try and find a way to get some sleep before then.
We got to get Lyric on here talking some Japanese wrestling because she is absolutely the best. So I'll see what we can do. I don't. She might be there. She goes to Japan sometimes for this stuff. So I don't know if I've seen her.
Over I know there, so.
It's like fun and also jealousy inspiring to see like who's going over. All my wrestle purist friends, Charlie, Catherine, I see you over there in Japan.
Yes. Shout out to Sanal. Sanal from she's over there. So
the We Work Stiff guys, I think, always go over there too for Wrestle Kingdom. Some really great content creators outside of Fightful that you should be checking out for some of your New Japan stuff. But you are now a believer in Harley Cameron SP3.
Oh, I've been on the bandwagon. I've been on I honestly can tell you it was a match with Timeless Toni Storm last year where I was like, wow, it was that match and the match against Mariah May last year where I was like, oh no, this is not going to be good. She hasn't wrestled much. Mariah May is still getting used to AEW television. And then they went out there and they had a solid match. And I was like, wow, she's a lot better than I thought she was. And then I've been on the bandwagon ever since. I'm towards the front of the bandwagon.
Towards the front of the bandwagon. I like that you've called your placement on it. I hesitate to say this because I don't want it to get interpreted a certain way, but when she was like, she was right there with Britt Baker was one of the matches I noticed too. And what impressed me about that was Britt had just come back, right? She was just coming back from this injury. And to get in there with someone who is like a star of the division, who's coming back from injury, that's like a pretty high pressure situation. And she hung right along in that match. And I was like, man, she's like, everything is crisp off the ropes. And like all those fundamentals are really clicked in that match. And then to your point, like that Toni Storm met the Mariah May stuff, like all of that has been on an upward trajectory. And then you start to throw in like Harley Graham and the stuff with Mina, like, she's really, really come into her own. She's really, really come into her own. And it's been fun to see her blossom. It really has. But me, Norm, was saying I'm normally shy, but at midnight, it is Intergalactic Meat Festivus. One more year around the sun where I demand you people to acknowledge meat. Well, you're the ones. You the
ones. Meets the ones.
I don't know what we are instead of Oos, though. Norm? Are we like, am I an honorary Norm?
An honorary Norm? An honorary
Norm. We're on Cheers now all of a sudden, but Harley Cameron beating Ashley Fox with the Shining Wizard. She looked really good in this match. So did Ashley Fox. I was really, I've had my eye on her for a bit, and I liked what I saw out of her. Really good chemistry in there tonight. I feel like Harley is kind of fun because you can see like, okay, I got that down. Check. Okay, straight check it. I'm leaning into that. Check. Like, you're starting to see the arsenal. She's like, I got this foundation. Now let me expand a little bit. And I feel like Ashley Vox gave her a lot in that way because I think Ashley Vox is a very versatile wrestler from what I've seen. So she's had some longer match times now too. Like, she's starting to grow. And it's one thing that's always fun about watching ROH and NXT as well is like, when you get to see wrestlers evolve, because this is where they're given that space to do so. And Harley's been back and forth programs wise, but it's so rewarding because you're like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I'm getting to see week over week all these improvements, at least for me. I love that. So some good stuff here. This was a really solid match. I really like the way that at these Haberstein shows, she's a little bit more grounded in the presentation. Like, she's still very fun and very entertaining to watch, but like, she came to Hammerstein to wrestle a little bit more than to be silly and also wrestle. So I just appreciated that. It's like, no, we're going to keep that part of it at the forefront as well. What did you think of this match?
Yeah, she's still able to kind of play up her character, play up her humor, but still, like, kind of, like you said, try new things in the ring. So I think that she was in there with the right opponent. Ashley Vox is someone that I've seen kind of on the independent scene over on the East Coast for a long, long time. C-Stars, her and Demi Esso made a great tag team on the independent scene, especially when I was going, like, the late 2010s, early 2020s. Yes, it was a very long time ago. We had a whole pandemic. but yes, I remember them so well, and I feel like she's someone that would do well on like any of these promotions, whether it be a TNA or ROH and AEW or WWE. She's someone that has a lot of talent and should probably get another look from these bigger promotions. But Harley Cameron, I just enjoy anything she does. She's just effortlessly entertaining. That's the best thing that I could say about Harley Cameron.
I'm going to continue my conspiracy theory that she's in some way related to Harley Graham. She looks like her. She looks like her.
We shouldn't spread this type of misinformation, you know what? Online. Get in a little bit of trouble.
So. Where do I work? Where do I work?
That's just true.
I should be keeping this in mind. I don't mean to spread lies.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's something there I got to investigate. But Shame Monster saying, TMD Kate, 7 Mary SP3. First week off the Honor Club, feeling fine so far, no shakes yet. But I did hallucinate Point Sisters last night before Dynamite. I think I wouldn't be so down on I'm so excited being their theme if they didn't also bring back Elton John. For Collision, I'm like, can we just stay in this century for the songs that are the themes of the shows? Like, Young Fresh Alternative does not scream songs from like Guns N' Roses back to back. Like, just Swerve is there. Mercedes Monet's cousin is Snoop Dogg. Like, can we do something cool feeling?
I don't know about you. I don't know what you look for in your wrestling theme songs. But what I look for by wrestling theme songs is references to some of my favorite TV shows when I was growing up. So
any, the Jesse Spano reference is hot.
I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Zach! Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. I'm so excited.
Jesse, calm down. Legendary.
Oh my god. I thought it was a rib, but I was with it. I was like, I'm so excited. And I just can't.
Sean said on the post show yesterday that someone had told him that this was a theme and he didn't report it because he thought it was a rib. He well, thought somebody sense. Was joking.
That makes sense. But I think that we as AEW's wrestling fans and AEW fans, we have to pick our paddles, and we cannot bully Tony Khan to change the theme song. We need to focus all our powers on bullying Adam Copeland to stop being called Cope. I think we need to concentrate our resources towards one mission at a time. And I think that's the one that we need to all focus on.
At least Cope has like a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea.
You literally are feuding with someone who we all call Mox, but he doesn't need to be Mox in title and name. He doesn't need to be that. He is John Moxley.
It is
all of Mox.
Very sports entertainment. It is very sports entertainment. I will say that much. Not for me, but I guess I'll just have to cope. Like, that's where they're going to get us. That's where they're going to get us, is we're going to be saying that, and we're going to be thinking of that.
The best response that I saw yesterday, Kate, and you can confirm this for me, because I wouldn't be the expert on this, but my friend, shout outs to Chase Oliver, he says that Cope sounds like the white version of Unk. So
I'm the nose with that one. God bless.
Shout out to Chase.
Well, speaking of something completely different from Cope and on the opposite side, back into badass and cool and awesome land is Shane Taylor Promotions defeating the Iron Savages and the Dark Order with the Border City Stretch from Lee Moriarty on Evil Uno. I am a little bit nervous that we're at a point where we have seen the combinations of tag teams face each other too much. Where it's at this point, it's like, oh, I'm looking up and everybody that we talked about feels 50-50 or something. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I don't know who is logical contenders unless you're like, okay, starting now. Shane Taylor Promotions should be, and they should be the ones that won. Nice distraction from Trisha Dora on the outside in this. My girl actually getting to do something. I love her so much. Give her singles matches, though. And I like that Lee won with the Border City Stretch. I like that he's the guy with gold, and he's kind of the one that, if Shane Taylor's the leader of this on the mic, Lee Moriarty's the leader of this with the action. And that's kind of cool and a good way to capitalize on the momentum that came out of that Pure match with Nigel. I loved Ian Riccaboti on commentary saying he didn't know how big that match was going to feel going into it, that he didn't realize what a big deal it was until it's done. And that kind of is backed up by you saying that he was just had a shit-eating grin on his face the entire time at the press conference. And I loved what Ian said or relayed that Lee said was like, I probably would have lost if I did realize what a big deal and moment that was. And I loved that he like kind of kept that in kayfabe a little bit, but like, felt like an authentic window into things. Solid match. I still am kind of struggling with this blend of comedic and seriousness from Bronson and Bear. Because it's not that I don't feel like they do the comedic well, and it's not like it doesn't necessarily fit with the characters. I just feel like maybe I was just so in love with like what Bear Country was, that like I just want them to be these monsters that destroy people. And I think maybe we don't really have one of those in ROH consistently, so I want them to be that. It's because like that archetype in ROH is not quite filled. But we were also at a point with them where they were just like squashing people and then nothing would happen. So then it felt like we went the comedic route and whatever. But I don't know. There's still just like a little bit of a missing ingredient there, but I love watching them work. I loved a lot of what we got in this match from an in-ring perspective because there was such a unique combination of guys in this, like truly. Yeah. But you had your Pure Champion, you had Baron Bronson, you had Dark Order, you had the Infantry, obviously. Like, so this was really fun from that perspective of everyone's like, all right, I know how to work with you, but we're all really different. So I loved that. I loved that. But what did you think about this? I was just glad to see STP finally get a damn win.
That's all I can ask for. That's all I can ask for. Am I going to remember this? Probably not. This was just fine. It was kind of there, but it was the right decision to have SVP get the win. I thought that they did a great job of putting over Lee Moriarty with the way that he put the Border City Stretch on Alex Reynolds on the outside before he got the win in the ring on Evil Uno. So it just made him look like he could have washed everybody on his own. So I like that. I like that they're putting over Lee as kind of like the star of the Shane Taylor Promotions as the pure champion. As far as the Iron Savages, they just feel to me, their act just feels like a less over Premier Athletes. Like I said, I think the best thing I can say about Premier Athletes is that regardless of how many times they lose, they still over. But I think that Iron Savages has hit the point that they've lost so much, they're not even over. And in him doing the same kind of stick that he always does here just confused me, because I was like, wait, you guys are cutting, is this like a three-way matchup? Like, oh, it's
yes.
A tag. Oh, you're with the babyface Dark Order? Wait, what? That wasn't a babyface promo that you just cut? What is going on here? Well, I was very confused.
They just don't know what Dark Order is. Like, their face is one week, their heels the next. It's very frustrating.
They've been on the right path of being babyfaces since they...
Yeah, that's true, I guess. Yeah, for a few weeks. Riders.
The whole Death Riders storyline at the beginning of that storyline. Since then, they've kind of been babyfaces on ROH as well. So I've liked the consistency because they have felt like the Big Show of tag teams.
John Silver being in the same like breath as Big Show is pretty fun, not gonna lie. But we do visit back to our flashback match. I will say you can't have matches that eat this much time comparative to the rest of your program as your flashback match, I think. Like this was a longer one and it's amazing and I loved rewatching it, but when it's like the flashback match can't be 30% of your show, you know what I mean? Like that feels weird, but this was Athena defeating Willow, I believe, for the second time. Yes. With that Uma Plata crossface. And it was very, very fun to watch. I loved Willow's gear in this match as well. But just two really special performers. And what was kind of fun was, like, I was like, man, both of these ladies have come so far since this match. And even at that point, you knew it was special and an important match. But I was like, Athena's toolbox of what she uses to hurt people and finish people has grown so much since then. And Willow has just blossomed so much just in totality. I feel like as a complete wrestler and who she is and what she's been able to accomplish, like the deathmatch side of her and all just everything that we've gotten from her, both matches with Mercedes Moné and stuff like that. So that was really fun to look back at. But I think my main takeaway from rewatching it was just like, oh, Athena's like, she was cooking at this point, and even since then, she started using so many other holds and more vicious things, and that was fun. It was kind of fun to see that checkpoint in her journey on her championship. Did you watch this, or were you like, I'm going to eat dinner, I've seen this match?
No, I did rewatch it. What I liked most about rewatching it is because I remember this match being excellent, and it was excellent once again rewatching it. But I love the callbacks to all the past ROH women of the past, like Mercy, like yes. Athena using the Mischief's finisher, which is like a pentagreed out off the second rope, which looked vicious as hell, and just all those moves and callbacks. You know, the Sarah Del Rey callback. You had a Daisy Hayes call back in the matchup. It was a nice little kind of tribute to all the women that led up to that first ever women's main event of a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. So it was a nice callback to the past while acknowledging how much it meant to them in the present and how much we're going to look back on that matchup and how important it was to not only the growth of the Ring of Honor women's division, but AEW's women's division with everything that Willow has accomplished.
I heard a credible rumor, but I'll tell you this on air because I feel like it's a nice story. So a credible rumor that this was also Pac and Claudio. And the plan was always for Athena and Willow to main event. But Pac was like, if the plan wasn't to give it to the women, you should give it to the women. Like, they have the story. They have the in-ring acumen. Like, you should give it to them. And that is like one little microcosm of a million nice things I've heard about the guy that is Pac, which is so funny because he's such a dastardly, bastardly little maniac on television. But you were saying before of guys that you hear are nice in real life playing like evil characters or whatever.
Pac is probably my favorite my missus' favorite person that we ever met. We met him when we went to England the first time. We went to a Rev Pro event, and he was very nice to us. But then when he took a picture with us, he had the most miserable face. She always goes back and looks at it and just laughs, and it pops her every time.
I love that. That was like when if you saw that video of Christian taking the replica belt from the little girl and putting it over his shoulder and her just thinking it was the funniest thing in the world. I love moments like that. But Pac, Adam Cole, and Ethan Page are the ones that I've heard, like, nicest bad guys you'll ever be. But guys, we are coming down the home stretch. We just have our proving ground match between Commander and QT Marshall to talk about. But the TNA crew finally coming back to the grind, okay, after two weeks.
Thanks for coming to work, guys.
Yeah, seriously. Jeez. Definitely didn't have to do with the fact that TNA had two clip shows.
But you're telling me you can't review a clip show? How easy would have that been?
Oh, my gosh. A clip show. Did you see that clip? That was great. You're going to pay me to do that? Sign me up for that. But sincerely, I do want to thank you because I try to keep tabs on views when we have things like that of one of us not being around, or if it's a super slow week or a big week, I do try to make notes of things. And you guys still showed out with a lot of support. So I just want to thank you guys for continuing to support the show. We are the little show that could over here. So both streaming servicey shows, though, TNA got some updates on how you can watch finally. But let's talk about this Proving Ground match where QT Marshall, of all people, lasts a ton, 10 minutes, and we'll get a TV title match against Commander. Now, here's what I like about it. I like that QT was smart. I like that his game plan was not to try and win. It was to outlast Commander and to try and beat the 10 minutes. A lot of times we see people go into a Proving Ground match, and that's not even really a part of their game plan. They're still trying to earnestly win a match, and that's fine. But QT strengths are those types of things. And it was nice to see him lean into those. And I like that this has some significance because they both are working in Mexico. And I like that this means we're going to have our TV champ around again before the next pay-per-view and not in like, you're in a five man for reasons. Like, it feels like they made the choice to put the TV title on Commander. He was absolutely hysterically crying about it backstage. And they said, we should probably put some effort behind this now. Also, just a huge happy birthday to Meet Normus. Happy birthday, dude.
Happy birthday.
Sincerely. Oh, happy birthday. That makes me so happy. I hope you have an incredible year ahead. You're genuinely so wonderful in our community here. So happy one to you. I hope you have a prime rib or something. Have something expensive and delicious in the meat arena. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to Arby's. You're going to say, you have the meats, right? And they're going to say, yes, we're Arby's. Of course we have the meats. And you're going to say, I want all the meats. And they're going to be like, ha ha ha. And you're going to go, no, 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 no. It's my birthday. I want
Meet Normus.
All the meats. I Meet Normus. Acknowledge me on my birthday. But
I want Normus meats.
Happy brisket day, says Just Ricardo. You guys are the best. You guys are the best. But back to this match. I liked this. And QT had a solid base for Commander. He's really found a way to translate his style to American wrestling very, very well over the course of the past couple months, and that showed up here. And QT can work with anybody and make them look good. Always gets reactions from the second he came out to the We Bring the Doom music. I love it. What did you think of our main event tonight?
They worked really well with each other. One thing that I've really enjoyed about QT's work since he's been back is that you can see his improved shape is having an effect on him in the ring.
Big time.
Moving a lot lighter on his feet. He's able to kind of show his full arsenal when he's in there with someone as small as Commander. And Commander honestly made like a late half of the year like run for most improved wrestler.
Sure.
Like from where he was last year when everybody kind of panned him when he debuted against Jay White. And I agree with most of that people that he shouldn't have had a 15-minute match with Jay White when you're trying to push Jay White as a top guy. But he's come a long way since then. He had the great match with Kyle Fletcher on Collision a couple of months ago. Then he was great in the Survival of the Fittest. That Hammerstein crowd was rallying behind him to become the Ring of Honor World Television Champion. You could tell how much it meant to him, all the hard work that he's put in to accomplish something like that, and how much it meant to him backstage with that whole online clip that they showed. And then you see it here where they're actually giving him a matchup early on in his reign. And that's actually going to lead to a title match and actually his first program. Congratulations, Tony Khan. That is called a monocule of effort. That is more than we usually get here, and we appreciate it.
You know, you raised a really good point about QT getting himself in leaner shape and how it was paying off against a guy like Commander. And you got to think, like, he's preparing for the Rizzler. He's preparing for Big Justice. Like, these smaller dudes, you know, at least tight wise for sure. So you gotta be prepared for the the smaller crop of guys. You gotta lean out.
He's gonna do a house show circuit with those guys. He's good for like the next 20-25 years.
He's good, man. He's fine. QT is fine. Whatever criticism you want about him online, QT Marshall is fine. But
QT Marshall, my 2025 wrestler of the year.
There you go. There you go. You heard it here first, people. Yeah. Clip it.
Clip it. Clip it. It's only 2 days in, so just want to specify that.
I mean, hey, the competition might be thin at this moment.
You never know. But you never know. Even though, there is competition. Ricochet might be my favorite heel in wrestling after yesterday.
You know, it's so when we were talking about the Cope thing before, I wanted to bring this up. I think part of what annoyed me about the Cope thing is it was paired with him being like, I don't like your face or whatever to Tej, as we've been calling it. But I was like, I don't want him being a dorky heel congruent with Ricochet being a dorky heel. Like, that was kind of how it was starting to feel to me. And I was like, I don't even think he's supposed to be a heel, at least not yet. But I was like, it kind of felt like him and Ricochet were doing too much of the same thing. But I think Ricochet was doing it on purpose. And I don't know if Adam Copeland is doing it on purpose.
He's Rick Murray. He's Rick Murray from Degrassi.
Oh my gosh, you Degrassi dudes. Well, let's bring on Joel Pearl. We'll see. Is Cresta coming tonight?
I don't know.
The hell if you know.
Yeah, what do I look like? Your keeper?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just a responsible co-host, so I know, if my co-hosts are showing up.
She messaged me earlier today. She said, are we doing a post-show? I said, absolutely, yes.
Say and her name, no. And she appears. I believe in Cresta.
What up? I'm sorry, y'all. TNA ran mad late. I don't understand what happened.
It went to 9:58. What are you talking about?
My thing literally just ended. Babe. Kate, give me your internet for the new year. What up?
I am so happy about my new... I had a journey, okay? I had a journey with Optimum and Verizon. Here's what happened. You're gonna get the story. Story time with Kate Elizabeth, baby. Okay. Optimum was the only thing available in my area. And I called people who said it wasn't available on the phone to be like, please, sir, is there any way? For so long. And Verizon said, our home service isn't available, but our business one is. And I was like, well, technically, I'm doing business over here. I work from home. And they were like, well, no, but we'll see what we can do. And they went way out of their way for me to make that happen. And I told them, hey, just so you know, there's no other options in the area. And I know Verizon used to run in this building because I see the old setup. Like, there's a piece of the old setup still in mine. And my neighbor currently has it. So I was like, if you guys just run service again, you'll probably get a whole bunch of people switching. And they were like, that's actually great to know. Thank you. And like a week after I got my kit for the Verizon Business, I get an email that's like, we're now available in your area. And I was like, come on, you gotta be kidding me. So I called them and I was like, listen, I don't try to throw my weight around, but I'm pretty sure the only reason you even made it available was because of me. Okay. The timing is too coincidental. Can I switch to the home service? And they said yes. So, but we now have stable internet so far, knock on wood. God bless. Happy New Year to me. But Cresta looks like Sammy Guevara, old school over there. She's got the panda head on.
I would like to believe I'm a lot cooler. Shout out to Sammy Guevara.
Oh my goodness. Throwing shade and love at the same
She's time. Sticking her tongue out like Sammy.
There you go.
Megan Thee Stallion. Cresta the Otter, Megan Thee Stallion.
We love that. We love that. Me Norma saying, wait, Kate has good internet now? No way, bruv. Happy birthday to you. You can actually see me a little bit, but let's not talk about it too much more. It's too delicate. It's too beautiful. But how was DNA tonight, guys?
1 month old.
I will give a more nuanced answer since I see Joel is still in the holiday spirit. On the one hand, great wrestling all the time. Ace Austin and a singles run? Yes, please. On the other hand...
Two matches.
Joel!
That could be... If he has two more singles matches, that could be another 6 months. That's a hell of a run.
You're a mean one.
Out here being like, girl, the singles run of a lifetime. And I'm like,
he just started. Yo, bro, Joel, let him have this. Let him have this, bro. Let him have this.
Singles run at pay-per-view.
Y'all see what I work with?
Ricardo says you're a lot to process on the cute meter. Notice who is not getting chats like that. That would be Joel. Joel is not getting chats like that.
Happily married, happily have a kid at home. I'm good.
He's a mean one.
Ebenezer Pearl.
Okay, I'll just put the messages I get tomorrow.
Well, I thought TNA was fine until the end, but much like Thanos, I knew she was inevitable and she was
the ending up. Was hilarious. They did all of that, and then the final shot is the elegances in the ring lifting up the Knockouts tag titles as if nothing happened.
You know, see, me and Joel are on different ends of the spectrum, because by the end of the TNA, this was me upside down, like, what did I do? Why did I get this?
Oh, how did I? Everything that led up to it was absolute horseshit. We haven't talked about Tessa on our TNA show since the news dropped and she returned, but we'll get into it tonight. But just
Kate said, that's my cue. I gotta get the hell up out of here. Stable internet be damned. It's unstable right now, I'll tell you that.
Oh no, oh god, guys. Oh, did you mention Tessa? Oh no, I'm breaking up.
It must be that nuclear internet she's got.
Nuclear. You know, that's not her favorite.
SP3 1-800-SP3. Bro, that was I can't even. How do you come back from that? That's crazy, SP3.
Well, thank God nobody listens to the crossover.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.